Good morning, Santa Fe. Welcome to Wake Up Call, your source in the morning for the world of northern New Mexico at KSFR 101.1 FM. I'm Tom Trowbridge on this Tuesday, December 17th, 2019. I'm with Jim Turr from Las Vegas, New Mexico. Jim is a producer of many things, and he's got a new project, which we're going to talk about right now. And Jim, if you would, first of all, tell us about Howard Bryan and the book Wildest of the Wild West, True Tales of a Frontier Town on the Santa Fe Trail, and what it tells readers about.
Well, this book was published by a publisher in Santa Fe in 1988. And I read it, I don't remember when, sometime in the 90s, but it has been going strong ever since then. It's about the premise is that Las Vegas, New Mexico was by far the toughest town in the West, much more so than Dodge City and Tombstone and all those that you hear about. And this is backed up by a lot of statistics like the number of hangings per month and all kinds of stuff. And the book relates to a lot more than that. There's a lot of just straight, serious history in there. Bryan was a serious historian, but he does have a flair for writing. And he quotes a lot of newspaper accounts at the time, which are also just fantastic as far as the language, the colorful language. This was around the time of when the railroad came to Las Vegas. Well, the book precedes some of that with some history, including the U.S. takeover of our territory here. But around 1879, the railroad came in, and this made it a boom town, and it really did boom. It was about the most important town in New Mexico for a while. But it also brought in all these desperados who had sort of burned out on Dodge City or been kicked out or whatever. And they were an amazing bunch of hooligans. And they actually took over the police force. So you had these criminals kind of running the town, and as well as all these others coming in that you've heard about, like Doc Holliday and all these people from Dodge City. So it was just wild. And the book is filled with a lot of this very lurid, crazy criminal activity and hangings and really nutty stuff, very vividly told. But anyway, I read the book, and a lot of people, it turns out, have read it. It's sold tens of thousands and is still a strong seller. And I happened to know the publisher, and I asked him one day if he would be interested in giving me the rights to record this, which is no small job, sitting down and recording a book, but to record it and put it out as an audiobook. And he said, yeah, and we arrived at some terms, and I think it's a great opportunity, and it'll then, if it works, it'll promote his book as well, which is still available. So I've got it finished, I've got it edited, it's being manufactured, and it'll be available, or it is available any day now, and I've got several book signings coming up.
Now, Jim, as a native of Las Vegas, I suppose it was a natural thing for you to take on making this an audiobook.
Well, that does make it a lot more interesting. You know, of course, I know the places and the streets and the bridges where people are getting hung and everything around here. So it adds another dimension for sure. And it also makes me wonder about what the effect of all this was on Las Vegas today, because Las Vegas, you know, at the same time, it's an incredibly friendly town. Everybody says that. You know, people are very personable. Everybody helps each other. But there is kind of an undercurrent of violence. I remember when we moved here in 1958, when I was a kid, even then, just looking at the newspaper, I remember reading about all the murders and stuff every weekend. You know, there were not, it's not that bad now, by the way, but there was a veneer of violence here that that I wasn't familiar with theretofore.
Jim, who are the famous or rather infamous outlaws who spent time in Las Vegas during the sordid history of it?
Well, some of the famous ones were Jesse James, although he just visited the hot springs here. He didn't do his thing here much. But Doc Holliday was here. He had a dental office here, despite having tuberculosis and coughing on all his patients. But the the outlaws who were most active are not the ones who were well known, but they were very active here, like Hoodoo Brown. He was, I think he was the sheriff of this, you know, ruling this gang of hooligans, and a guy named Mysterious Dave Mather, and John Joshua Webb, and Dave Rudabaugh. There's a whole chapter about a guy named Navajo Frank, who was just a just plain renegade wild man who was hanged. All most of these people were hanged, and the book goes into great detail about it. You know, I have to be honest. That's part of the appeal of the book. I mean, it's interesting to read about, and you say, "Oh, well, I'm glad that didn't happen to me." Just tremendous amount of criminal activity here, and there's a whole chapter on a fascinating woman named Monteverdi. Well, it was one of her names. Now, turned out she had a lot of names. She was a mysterious, kind of incredibly beautiful but abused woman who came here. It turned out she had a great past as a Civil War spy. She was a poet. She ran houses of ill repute and gambling halls, and she shot whoever didn't agree with her. But anyway, many interesting chapters like that, not just male hooligans who got hung, but there's plenty of that. And it covers a Civil War battle in Glorieta and Fort Union and, as I said, the taking over of the territory by the U.S. government, which was not without a few complications. And the hermit of Hermit's Peak, who was here for several years and moved on to southern New Mexico and was killed by Apaches.
Jim, can you share one of the tales or stories that you find most interesting in the wildest of the Wild West?
Here's a story. It's kind of told amusingly. It's not funny for the people involved, but here's the way it's given by the author. It was at about the same time, according to Miguel A. Otero in his book, My Life on the Frontier, that the Hanging Windmill claimed yet another victim. Otero, a Las Vegas pioneer who served as governor of New Mexico from 1897 to 1906, identified this victim as a cowboy visitor named Beckworth, who enjoyed demonstrating his skills at handling a pistol. While twirling his pistol in his hand before an admiring audience, the gun went off and killed a man standing behind him. Beckworth apologized, saying it was just an accident. He resumed his pistol twirling, and the gun went off again, this time killing a woman standing in the doorway of her house across the street. Again, Beckworth apologized, saying it was just an accident. Officers quickly arrived on the scene and hauled Beckworth off to jail. He was found hanging from the windmill the next morning, Otero said, with a placard hanging from his neck, which read, "This is no accident."
Jim, tell us about the event coming up at the Santa Fe Public Library.
Well, the Santa Fe Public Library book signing, and I was very pleased that they were so welcoming about hosting. They're hosting this, and because they've handled that book for so long, and were very familiar with it, and excited to hear about an audio version. But the event at the Santa Fe Library is 5:30 on Thursday, December 19th. So that's it. I'll be reading segments like that and signing audiobooks for those who want them.
Jim Turr is the audiobook producer of The Wildest of the Wild West, True Tales of a Frontier Town on the Santa Fe Trail, the book by Howard Bryan. Jim, thanks for your time on KSFR today.
Well, thank you very much.